Hello, I'm John Bloomfield. Welcome to Wising's podcast and this episode, which is the first in an occasional series introducing our residency artists. So this year at Wising, we've changed the way we run our residency programme. At the beginning of the year, we asked artists to tell us what they wanted from a residency, what resources, what funds, and so on, and how long they wanted to come to Wising for. The result is that over the year, we'll be visited by over 40 artists, along with collaborators and their families. So this new strand in our podcast series hopes to help us get to know some of the artists passing through. So today I'm joined by Anna McMahon and Salote Tawale. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, John.
So Anna and Salote have joined us for just over a month in July and August this summer, both travelling from Sydney, Australia. So by way of a quick introduction, they both have very separate practices, but have decided to collaborate for this residency. Anna works site-specifically, creating installations which can be prepared, occupied, contested, altered, and changed over time. Using organic plant matter, she re-examines the architecture of significant moments in her life through her own queer experience. Key works might typically combine industrial materials with plants and sex toys or fetish gear. For Salote, cultural identity is a central focus in her research. A significant consideration in her practice is the inherent conflict of being from a mixed heritage that simultaneously includes and excludes her from a dominant post-colonial narrative of contemporary Australia. Salote featured prominently in many of her early works which explored representation and identity, but lately has been working in a more documentary mode, filming family members and staying out of the frame itself. So Anna and Salote, how have you been finding the residency?
Very peaceful. It's sort of like you're not totally isolated, but you could spend the day alone if you wanted to, or you could just find one or two people just to hang out with, which I think is, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I think that the biggest impact it's had is that change of pace from being in a large city to coming to the English countryside, which is a landscape that neither of us are very familiar with, and having time here to readjust to a different time, in
different
a way.
Pace, yeah.
Yeah, different pace.
You've both been exploring quite a lot. You've been using our Wising's vehicle,
which is called the Kengu, which is a
We've been to I guess we've been to a few. We've been to an ancient forest and. We've been down to Grantchester for some wild swimming. And I've been able
picnics.
To take in one of my favourite things to watch is British crime. So there's a real vibe of that going on.
British crime dramas or just actual British crime?
No, good point, John. It is British crime dramas.
Fictionalised crime.
Yeah. So I could find myself in the middle of an ancient forest having walked a bit ahead of everyone else and hear a twig snap and be... I'm run back to the others because I've seen this in the movies before.
Whereas I'm like completely oblivious and happy to walk through the forest, but unaware of potential crimes happening.
Yeah, and I think it's like, you know, it does look very different. It's a different way of moving through spaces, like going on byways, through fields, going to the shops. It's quite unique to hear. And I can see definitely in Australia where they've tried to mimic that. But of course the landscape is different, the temperature is different, so they can't totally transplant everything here or over there.
Yeah. And also that sort of occupation of space that has happened in Australia is different too, obviously, and for that reason it doesn't have that same accessibility. One thing that we've realised is that actually there's this sort of freedom in the landscape here because there's not so many animals.
Yeah, I remember.
Insects about to attack you.
I think I remember you asking you, John, actually, you know, when we go out walking, what do we have to be worried about? Like, we know you don't have snakes, but...
Well, not so many.
Yeah. I think you guys were like, maybe stinging nettle, watch out for that.
And then we're both like, what does it look like?
Or that, we've had a bit of a forage as well, just like the fact that there's so much out here that can be used in cooking or, you know, there's like heaps of... slow berries out here, heaps stinging nettle you can use, you can eat that.
Pears, apples, eaten stinging nettle. We've sort of used a whole lot of their landscape as some of our
pantry
too, which was really nice.
That's great. I mean, it's such a benign landscape here. Like even what at the beginning of the residency you were kind of most scared of in terms of a threat, like the stinging nettles, is actually something you can eat.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah. You just have to heat it.
That's how we got over our fear.
We can have it as a tea. You can have it as, soup. I think we stir fried it up one night to go with our meat and potatoes.
It's quite an unusual taste.
Nice. I really liked it. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so I asked you both to think of something that you brought to Wising, so something that you brought to Wising when you arrived back in July. So as I explained, this could really be anything. It could just be, sticking quite close to the model of the library. It could be a text that's been shaping your research. It could be a piece of music, or it could just be a political issue that was on your mind, or it could be a recipe. So just something that you you brought in with you. Were you able to think of something?
I brought with me, I've just started reading Bell Hooks' text, Feminism is for Everyone. So I've just sort of been reading a little bit of that each morning. It's very easy to read. But also I think it's so being so far removed from people. I mean, it's just been interesting reading that text and kind of having a think about the way that, I guess, mainstream feminism affects the way that people, like general public, think about what feminism is. And so I know this is actually quite an obvious, like, maybe feminist text to read, but I've never read it before. So
when's it from?
I'd have to go back and check. It's not too far ago. It was pretty recent.
I feel like it was from the not late 90s. Yeah,
that's recent when you're my age. But yeah, so I really kind of have thought about that in relation to, because being so transported away from Australia, in relation to my last semester teaching, and then also my own experiences growing up and thinking about what feminism was, and that comes from this mainstream standpoint. Pretty much that's what.
So has it been feeding into your work, or has it just been an opportunity to to research quite broadly and to read?
I think it's I always see of those things kind of like feeding in quite broadly. It's things I already think about, but maybe it's given me, it's more potent when you understand the historical context of something,
mm-hmm.
like how people's attitudes are framed. And I think even though I already knew a lot of what's being talked about in this text, I'm like finding out why the people have this attitude to feminism, when really, when the way I think about feminism is it's about changing the system. Like the current system doesn't work because of there's so many hierarchies. And so I just guess understanding that context has been really important to me.
How about you, Anna?
I brought along with me three videos that I had shot on residency last year in London that I hadn't yet edited and hadn't put any sound to it. So they were all also somewhat to do with my experiences growing up on a farm in sort of remote Queensland in Australia. And I felt like this was a good site to think through those ideas of how I might frame these videos whilst also being on a site that used to be a farm itself. So I've recorded some sound, but I've yet to sort of put the two together.
What kind of sound were you recording?
It's actually me singing a song that at the time in my life I sort of considered to be my favourite song, which it's called Stand By My Man. It's by it's by Tammy Wynette. He's a country singer.
Yeah. From America.
And
I think you're
at, at the time I think like looking back and reflecting, I had an understanding of what the lyrics meant, and I thought that was sort of the ideal So it's also been about thinking through how things have changed since then. It's also, yeah, like quite a nice experience to be feeling like I'm back in a sort of space of a farm or an old farm in a way, or at least a house that has a lot of area of land around it that isn't occupied by other houses or other things. It's just a landscape. Has been a really excellent opportunity for me to think through those ideas. Yeah, being able to see a horizon line without a building, things like that, that you sort of don't, you take it for granted that when you don't have that, you don't, I don't ever realize how much I miss it until I see it again, and then I'm like, oh wow, this is so like,
is it free?
It's like free, it's open. Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely have that in Cambridgeshire. So flat.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Horizon just goes on forever.
But then also, if you didn't want that, you'd only have to travel 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And you could.
Yeah.
I think that's what I like about this space. You can have absolute emptiness, or you can have, well, not, you know, emptiness in the sense of the landscape is full, and you are full, and you're in that landscape. But if you want to block that, you can, all you have to do is go up the road and you can hang out with lots of people in a town, you know.
Could you talk a bit more about what you've been doing on the residency? So I know you talked about a little bit.
So that's been like, sort of recording that sound has been a bit of a side project in a way. And thinking through those ideas is just sort of in a natural way that you process things through time. But collaboratively, we've been actually using Wising as a space to
invite people. Yeah, I guess because we have our own practices and we both have collaborated with other people, but not with each other. Like we collaborate in life, but not in our practices. Mm. We were thinking about doing a podcast, and then as we were researching that, we sort of decided we wanted to find another way of. I guess we had decided what we wanted is other people to be a part of the work that we were making, and that we would have a number of exchanges with people and respond to that.
Mm.
And so we, because of this site, as like, you know, we're staying in a farmhouse, there's many rooms in that farmhouse, we decided to invite people up and then have exchanges of food with them and conversation and see what would come out of that experience.
I think you framed it at the beginning as being about queerness, food and family.
Yeah.
Which really has been.
It has totally been about that. And I think maybe when we first thought of how that might happen as a series of podcasts, maybe we were just going to have conversations with people. But we realised by bringing all of those things together in one space for a short period of time, that maybe we could try and be open to see what could come of that, in the sense of like, could it be a video?
Yeah.
Could it be a set of conversations? Could it, why limit to just
one format? And I think also we realized that our first guests came here after we'd been here for about a week or so, maybe a little less. And what we also didn't really want to spoil was
their
magic that you have here. Like, again, like that feeling of being able to see a horizon, being able to sort of slow down, to walk on some grass,
we didn't want to
fruit off a tree.
Ask them to labour on our artwork.
Yeah.
We instead decided that we would maybe respond to these experiences and very much allow them to have a more organic kind of a experience here.
It's interesting. It's like sharing the residency. It's taking what you find special about it and kind of sharing that with. I mean, were they people you knew before? Were they friends and contacts?
Yeah, there were all people that we. Oh, apart from one couple that came that we'd sort of been put in contact with.
And met maybe years ago, but I guess all the others, that was the other thing, we were like, who's our queer community here in a place that we visited but don't live? Mm. And so we I guess we invited
those people
that we know.
Who also, we didn't just sort of isolate it to people who were like, oh, you know, we have to select people who are queer, but it just actually ended up that
that's a lot of our family here is like queer people. But also I think we were trying to get a mix of people who we know that are artists or a part of the art world, and then people like that we just know for other reasons. And that we realized that really quickly that just kind of fits into this framework of queerness, food and family, like automatically everyone's sort of a part of a chosen family. And I guess a lot of people that we know are artists, and then there's other people that we know are that, you know, I guess we were kind of rethinking too about what creativity is for people as well.
And in that way, actually, with probably half of the guests, we did sound recording, for example, in the studio, and with half of them we did video recording, and then one of them wrote some text, and another one made a soundtrack. Like, so it's been quite
We feel the video was a lot of the time almost like a documentation of the experience that we're having, but it's not, we weren't like documenting the whole every experience, because then it becomes about the camera and where the camera is situated
and how to react to that or how people change.
It might just be an after part of building something together in a forest
or like having
going
a swim.
For a walk or having a swim, that kind of.
So you kind of you went from thinking that this would take form as a podcast, so just really opening it up. Do you have an idea about where this will end up now, or you still need to think about it?
I mean the other element that influenced us deciding not to do a podcast is because neither of us have done that before, nor are either of us very good at, we've never done radio or anything similar. And I think what we realised after like a week is that, like, well, we're both artists. Like, why are we forcing ourselves to make a podcast when we
should respond in the way that we respond to things? Also realising too that we work quite differently as artists.
Yeah.
So in the format of trying to work out the format of what our podcast would be, that's actually where our minds changed.
Yeah.
Like, you know, how that's like one of us was more like, let's make it structured, and the other was like, let's make it more freeform. And then I guess from that we're like, okay, well, we're video installation artists. We work with sound.
It's a thing that overlaps in our practices.
We work with live experiences, and in a way everything that's happened up to now are live experiences for a small audience, and you know, our responses to that will be I feel like I haven't answered your question, but
we've been asked people here
I'm thinking a video.
We were thinking of a 3-channel video.
Okay.
Installation.
Yeah, that's the short answer.
I was going to say, oh, it sounds like still needs
vague.
To be resolved.
And no. It's not, yeah. What we've been need to be thinking is a 3-channel video installation.
At this moment in time, we find ourselves at the end of most of the collecting, so we kind of are going through what have we got.
Yeah.
And then how might we arrange that?
Yeah.
We also have instructions, actually, from some of our people who asked that, you know, we might film Twilight or something like that. And so that's quite open.
Mm.
It gives us something to do as a job. And then there's a potential for that to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So you've been here for about 5-6 weeks now, and you've got just under a week left.
Yeah.
Could you talk about something that you'd be taking away from Wising? So,
I suppose all of those things are unique to the space. So, like an understanding of what it's like to be in a sort of relatively rural setting in the UK, which is not something that I think either of us had experienced before. Also like new relationships with people, with yourself and with the rest of the staff here.
Recipes, like you were just talking to me about kimchi actually, and also I guess Wilf. has quite a few good recipes.
Yeah, we've been taught a few things. We're going to be taught.
We've shared a few of our own.
Yeah, shared some of our own. But we're quite excited to learn how to make a Yorkshire pudding and to have a Yorkshire pudding.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night.
I actually thought it was a dry biscuit, but I think that was the particular one I got at the pub.
Done incorrectly.
So incorrect Yorkshire pudding.
But as well as that, I suppose, yeah, this sort of situation where we've also had an opportunity to further those relationships with people here in the UK that, I mean, it's not necessarily that we have known all of the people that came to visit from the UK, but that we were able to do that here as well.
Because we're so far away, you can send an email and maybe have a Skype, but I think it's just been great to all hang out together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been quite interesting watching your residency and how you've kind of built it up and designed it almost from but watching that from the outside. And it's almost the way that somebody would do an urban residency where they're in a city for a month and they'll use it as a hub to meet and connect with lots of people. And Wising is not, you know, because of it's quite hard to get to, that's not usually what people use it for. It's not kind of it's not good for that, but what it is good for is once people are here, you can connect in a much kind of deeper way, and you can things that you couldn't do in an urban residency. So it's been really interesting to see and to see how successful that has been.
Yeah, and I actually think for me, us coming in here to make this project together, and then being able to just kind of really just experiment with what that might be through these invitations, like. Not, you know, I usually know somewhat what that final work will look like. And so us having this opportunity to just try something out, maybe in a way that we haven't done that before.
Yeah.
I think that I'll take away that, like being that just being able to kind of.
Yeah, I've not ever made a work in this style before. I think, that's interesting for you to say that. And it is true, like the amount of contact we could have with, like over a dinner or something in London or in Sydney or anywhere, Birmingham, wherever we might be, that's a big city where we connect with someone for maybe, 2 hours over dinner is not nearly as much as what you can achieve for a day or two.
I mean, I think it's something to do with you being very international and it's, you know, you're here, you're 2 hours away from London, so why wouldn't you? But a lot of UK artists would come to Wising and use it as a way of, like, shutting the world out almost for a period.
Yeah,
not everybody. I mean, it's just an observation.
The one thing was interesting for me is like when people got here kind of ready to do something, and watching them kind of break down this idea that they would have to be on their toes. Like we'd offer people a bath. I mean, not many people offer you a bath when you come to stay.
Every single person that came, except for one, had a bath. In the bathtub, and then we would give them instructions. We'll be like, okay, so the bath here is amazing, and it's amazing because you can lie down, it's got a thing for your head, like, and then what you do is you open the windows up and you can open them up fully and you put some of this like bath
salt. Oh, we had bath salt or
and also
bath.
This like bubble bath called Badidas that has like
advertisement,
super weird erotic advertisement. And it would be like, put this in, run it, and just like sit there for like an hour and like don't do anything, just look out the window.
We just would give people no time limit on that.
Yeah.
And so then
spend as long as you want.
And then often most people had more than one because they weren't expecting it. They're like, oh yeah, okay, we'll have a bath.
But then we
wouldn't see them for a good hour, and then we would prepare food and be talking to someone else or and then so it was either that or let's go for a walk. And those two things really kind of made people chill out.
Yeah. Just that reconnecting in a way to maybe to like their body.
And it kind of just, perhaps. I think if we didn't have that, and that's why I think significant to hear, is that maybe it wouldn't, people chilled out so much and then it made the rest of their visit with us so chilled out.
Yeah.
I didn't realise it was so structured at the beginning. That's really interesting, those kind of methods to
get people to relax.
Yeah.
We would also give them an Aperol spritz usually.
It's like a hotel. It's like
Yeah, it was.
Here's some instructions.
So in actual fact, maybe for us a lot of the time in the beginning, it wasn't quite that chilled out, you know, because we're like spending time getting everyone else to chill out.
Just hosting.
Yeah, hosting, yeah.
Yeah, which I think is also, you know, something that we really wanted to do was to look after our guests and to make sure that they felt they could feel this space in some way. And lots of them stayed for like extra nights or something. Or they'd be like, oh, I wish I could stay for longer. Because they were like, wow, this is just so beautiful. Like, it's so lovely to be in this landscape.
Which meant that actually conversations didn't necessarily run over like an evening. Sometimes a conversation will go for a number of days or...
Exactly, yeah. Which was really great too, picking up things and thinking through them and then waiting a night and then picking them up again and thinking through them again together. It was really lovely.
Sounds great. Okay, so my last question then is, what would you guys be doing next?
So I suppose what we decided to do as part of maybe how we were connecting with everyone that came, this common thing that happens, I don't know if it happens with Australian
residency.
So like the Australia Council residency in Paris or in London, there's often this book that's
added to by artists.
It's got like the studio book, and every time someone comes, they write a section about, you know, sort of what they've done and like tips, like, you know, if you need to get
bread, bath salts,
whatever, like where to go or like how to use things and how to best work with the space that you've been sort of given,
or even just leave a recipe or
exactly. So what we thought we would do is start that for Wising. So we bought a book that we're going to start off with
our own things that we...
Wow, okay.
So they're just kind of like the advice of one tourist to another or one, you know, visitor to the next one coming in.
Like we might do a little international visitors section and have things like if you want to get the train to London or like anywhere, if you want to travel
or
somewhere.
The butchers, like, so it's sort of a combination of things we got told but things we packed up
Yeah, and to also have it as a way of us documenting what we did here, so to say, during our residency, like just have a small paragraph about what we did. And I think the first thing though that we'll do in the book is to outline, you know, this is a book for you to share your stories or to share your tips or treasures or whatever it might be. And
yeah,
obviously no pressure for anyone to add to it, but it's also something that we thought hopefully no one will take away.
what use are people going to have with information about the born butcher? And
but it's also quite lovely in these Australian studios that you go to and you say, oh, that person was here like in 2001 and, oh, that person was here in 1997. Oh, wow, they're like, you know, they were 19 then and now they're 23 then and now they're my PhD supervisor or something.
Yeah.
Those sort of like progressions as well to sort of see who's been in the space and what they did too, because, that's always really like, sort of feels a bit like spying in a way, like reading someone's journal.
It's a communal journal.
Yeah, communal journal.
Most any legacy you get would tend to be much more formal. It would be maybe some photos that were taken and then maybe just the art that was produced.
Yeah.
So just to have, I guess just more of that, it's almost like a folk memory of the place, or just how that works.
That's like we'll probably put the steps on how to have an ideal bath from our point of view,
or even just a photo of something as well.
Yeah,
because I think actually by doing a few comments ourselves that are different things, that potentially that'll generate somebody's idea. They might not want to do 10 pages or even one page, but they're happy to like draw a little picture in there or leave a photo or something.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And then after Wising,
what do we do next?
We're going to London. I have an Australia Council residency there. And so we're doing a few different, we're both doing different things in Bowen Bromley. So I will no longer be walking through the field to go to the shops.
You're walking under an underpass from the fire station to the Sainsbury's.
But I guess part of my research here and my research for there has been visiting Fijian archives. So in Cambridge at the Museum of Anthropology and Archaeology is a huge collection of Fijian photographs and objects. And so while I was here in Wising, I did visit to look at the photographs. And then hopefully I'll come back to visit some objects. But I'm also going to Innova to also do some research into into contemporary artists who focus on, I guess, diaspora identities. And I think that's a huge discourse in Australia, because we're all, unless you're Indigenous to Australia, come from somewhere else. So I'm just interested to see in what other artists are doing and how, and at this library in particular, because it's just focused on that, and also how, what's being written, how's that being written about.
Yeah, it's a great resource. It's really fantastic.
Yeah, and I'll be heading to London to hang out with Salotti and to sort of do my own research as well for hopefully to start thinking through some ideas for an exhibition I have in London next year.
At Auto Atelier?
Yeah, at Auto Atelier. And cool. Then I leave sort of end of October and go back to Australia for a week and then go and do a residency in Japan for a month and a half.
So we're just all about residencies at the moment.
And the residency in Japan, I'm just like looking at very specific gardens. So,
where in Japan?
Well, it hasn't quite been confirmed yet, but the gardens that I want to look at are across Tokyo and Kyoto. So, I'll definitely be in those two cities, but it might be a third space as well. I'm just waiting to work all of the details out with them. But, yeah, it's exciting.
Okay. Well, thank you both for joining me for this little chat. It's been good to hear a bit more about what you've been doing here at Wising.
Thank you. And thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thank you to Wising for having us.
Cut it. We've fallen asleep.